We'll spin the block 6 times looking for a parking spot right in front of Banshee.
I will do something sometimes, depends on what it is, but usually I'm just like, yeah, convenience. I can use the steps.
Yeah, no, I like to park as close as possible. And we've talked about it before on the show, but sometimes, like today, I got primo parking right in front of the radio station. And sometimes a good parking spot is all you need to turn your day up around.
I mean, a great parking spot is a blessing from God.
It is.
So,
every single time.
You should cherish those moments because they don't usually come that often. It's just like, especially when someone is leaving right as you turn, you're like, yes.
You're right.
It's like destiny.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like, you feel like this moment in time was created just for you.
There's few better feelings in this world, I would say.
Especially when it is like a really crowded place.
Yeah.
Like a movie theater. Prime example, movie theater on like a busy Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah.
And you get one of that first spot, someone pulls out as you're pulling in, you're like, this is going to be a great movie.
Yeah.
Even if it's a terrible movie,
it's a great movie. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
This movie is winning, so.
That's right. All right, should we talk about sports, or do you want to keep talking about parking spots?
I think we did our parking spot justice.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to sports. Happy Rudy Gobert Day, everybody. On this day 4 years ago, Rudy Gobert, during his post-game presser, decided to touch all the mics, only to get diagnosed with COVID later that evening, setting forth the shutting down of America.
All Rudy Gobert's fault.
That international French bastard
will never appreciate him. Never.
Yeah.
No, he's dead to us.
He is. He's been dead.
Cool first name, horrible dude.
I think we should do him proper French style and guillotine him right now, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
So I want to explore that here because...
The guillotine? I'm very much about the guillotine.
Yeah, yes. We know. Yeah. Not so much that part. So Rudy Gobert gets fined $100K. Over the weekend.
For shutting down the world. That's all he got.
No, that's not why he got fined. Though he should have got fined for that. I believe George Sedano on ESPN LA said that he should be suspended for a season because of that, because of the COVID incident. Anyway, for basically catching a cold and being a jerk about it. Rudy Gobert gets fined for doing a money gesture towards a ref during a call that was fairly controversial. In a game that they ended up losing, the Timberwolves lost to your LA Lakers, Rudy and Derek, by a point. And afterwards, Rudy Gobert doubled down and basically said that, you know, sports gambling is calling into question all of these calls. To which, whenever you question the integrity of any of these sports leagues, you will... The hammer's going to come down on you.
Yeah.
And it's understandable.
No commissioner wants the integrity of the league questioned.
Yes.
You know, maybe their personal integrity you can go after, but the league itself, no. Because that's the shield. Always protect the shield is always kind of the manner of the NFL in that aspect. But, Rudy Gobert, when you insinuate that, you are definitely – the sports gambling is a huge influence at this point in time. It's sponsoring all over the place. So you can't say that it's not – It's a broad stroke you can paint the brush with, but if you don't have actually valid evidence, it doesn't really mean anything, I feel. Like, anybody can say that right now at this point. It's been happening for years on years. We've had mob ties into it, and that can happen at any time if you wanted it to happen.
It happens every day.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm just saying, this is not like something that's new, like, oh, there's money influencing the game. Money influences the game all the time. At that point in time, I've always said, there's no integrity in this game, because the moment money is brought into any type of gaming system, integrity's gone. Like, don't expect integrity in this moment right now.
There's a lot to unpack there. Basically, I do think calling into question the integrity of the game, insinuating that sports gambling is behind a bad call, sets a really terrible precedent. And that's the last thing you want your fan base who's spending money.
But that's been happening for years.
Understood. But
especially when a call doesn't go your way. It's a broad stroke. Refs are paid off.
Yeah.
Like, how many times has that said? Every single, like, at least once a week, refs are paid off has been brought up for the past time money has been brought into sports. So to say what Rudy's doing, it's just a bigger guy saying it. And now because sports gamblings are bigger. So to say that the refs are paid, are under it, that's nothing new.
Okay, fair enough. I wanted to talk about a broader conversation here when it relates to Rudy Gobert. And that's likability in sports. And the reason I'm bringing that up and I'm linking this to Rudy Gobert is because Rudy Gobert seems to be someone that not a lot of folks like. If you remember, Draymond Green put him in a headlock and dragged him halfway across the court, and I believe he caught two games for that. And then on a foul when he just swung, like, flared wildly, flailing. He was flailing is what I'm trying to say. Flailing wildly against Alex Len, I believe it was. Hit him in the face. Or maybe it was Nurkic. I don't remember. Doesn't matter. Big, tall, white guy for the Suns. He ended up getting suspended indefinitely at the time, which I believe he served 20-something games or something like that. But no one seemed to be outraged over what Draymond did to Rudy Gobert. And Rudy seems to be someone who is not well-liked. And we're going to talk about Russell Wilson here shortly when we go to free agents, free agent QBs and a lot of the free agency moves in the NFL. But, so I wanted to talk, instead of focusing on the positive, like who are the guys we hate most, and gals, I suppose, in sports, what makes someone likable? And who's like the coolest athletes out there right now? Do you guys have any...
I'm thinking.
We always appreciate the down-to-earth guy, the one that's like not always seeking the attention, but when it comes to them, they're going to have fun with it. A Kirk Cousins is going to come to mind right now what he sell, the way he painted his family and himself in that Netflix series made him a very likable type of guy.
Likable, not cool, though.
Not cool. Yes, yeah. Likable.
Likable.
He's also, being likable, it helps being very good at your job, too. Yeah. So if you are good at your job and down-to-earth like Kirk Cousins is, you might not say he's the best QB, but he's still a top-tier QB, top of the tiers QB in the NFL. In fact, he got himself a nice little payday from Atlanta. But that doesn't, that's here or there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, I don't have a really cool, but George Kittle, likable.
Yeah.
Borderline cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's crazy, so that gives him that likability and that borderline coolness as well.
Yeah. I think being authentic goes a long way.
100%.
Yeah. I think being...
Rob Gronkowski, sorry.
He is annoying at this point in time. He's overplayed.
Yeah, he's a little much.
He's trying. It feels like he's trying that right at this point in time.
Yeah.
Like now, at this point in time, like,
the frat boy look into like your 40s doesn't look good.
Like, it just sounds like you're stupid.
What's wrong
at this
with
point.
That?
You just were
there's a lot wrong with that.
The dumb jock is not that fun. I will say the dumb jock gets annoying.
Yeah, and gets tired. It gets tired.
It's a good storyline in a movie, but that's about it.
I would say Joe Burrow is one of those dudes. I would say Anthony Edwards is one of those dudes that just exudes coolness.
Steph Curry?
I think Steph Curry's a little... He's likable, cool. But he's not like...
He's not cool.
He's not cool.
Would you say Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy Butler's
cool.
Yeah.
And see, and there's a fine line, right? Why don't we like Russell Wilson? He comes off as inauthentic, even though I think his desire to be liked is incredibly authentic. But that's something I think collectively we all hate, is when you desire to be liked.
Yeah.
When you're a tryhard. Yeah, none of us like the tryhard. We all knew people like this in our teams and our classes growing up. No one ever liked the tryhard. And I don't know what it is about Gobert. I think maybe being French, for whatever reason, this country hates on French people.
Makes
sense. Unfortunate, yeah. But we do. They're butt of the joke a lot.
They are. But
lovely country, though. Great food.
I don't understand. Like, he does get an inordinate amount of hate for what his celebrity is, I feel. But there's not that... I was trying to think about it. You know, like, back in the day, you had, like, the Deion Sanders, the Ed Reeds. I think Jordan was pretty... was one of the coolest, right?
Like, Kobe Bryant's cool.
Kobe Bryant was cool. In his own right, he was kind of a... He was a jerk, right? But that made him...
You're just a Kobe hater.
Was he not a jerk? Have you read
100%. He was. Yeah, yeah.
He was a butthole.
Yeah.
Not to me, all right? He was perfect.
Well, yeah, he was a... I mean, he was... Everyone
Yes, he was
him.
A dick, yeah. Yeah.
He hated everyone, yes. Yeah. But, like, that's why, you know, he was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so I just think I think it's just rare these days. I don't know if it's social media or what, but I don't feel like we have that many athletes that just exude coolness anymore.
Well, we're all very focused on our one athlete right now. I feel like there's not that one superstar because we are so in tune to who you want to be in tune to. Like we are, our focuses are so spread apart right now. You can be so focused in on just the most random people, and like you don't have that kind of forced to be cool guy like Jordan was when he was just the only focal point of media at that time. Media is so expansive right now that everyone has a chance to be cool, but when everyone has a chance to be cool, no one's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. I was add one more to the list that he used to be. I mean, I'm sure he's still cool. Bubba Watson.
Bubba Watson?
All the young kids were hanging out with him on tour when he was, you know, younger. Everyone wanted to be his friend, and outside of golfing, everyone hung out with him.
Yeah, at this point, like, who's cool in the golfing world? That's really that's another question, because that's like, I feel all those guys are way too uptight.
Ricky, like, Fowler.
Yeah, I was going to say Ricky.
Fowler's always been the solid dude.
That's the first person that came to mind.
People that I hate is Justin Thomas. Jordan Spieth is average, but he's not cool.
Like Tiger Woods, not cool. Sorry. Like, good at golf, but like,
I think just, DJ's pretty cool in golf.
DJ John, Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
You're dating Paulina, Smith. Or you're married to Paulina Gretzky.
Yeah, have
Cameron
a wife.
Smith,
you
I think
do
solid.
Cocaine and get Kepka. Caught. No one cares.
Kepka, besides his wife.
There you go. Yeah.
His wife sucks.
Okay.
I don't. Is Brooks cool, or is he just kind of arrogant?
Cool.
He's kind of an arrogant jerk, which I think not caring what people think is another fine line where it's like, it's cool to a point, but when you go too far with it, when it's like, I'm just going to be me all the time, it's like, well, sometimes you isn't good enough. Maybe sometimes just clean it up, you know? Brooks just comes off like a jerk to me, and I like him.
Have you seen Full Swing?
I have. That's
have you seen the newest season?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, and I like him.
Yeah.
But he is kind. He comes off very arrogant.
But he backs it up. Though.
Again, he's got a name like Brooks.
Yeah. It's country, I think that's what it
that's
is.
That's a country club.
Yeah,
that's
a country club name
right
there.
His hair.
Like, that's the ultimate.
Being named Brooks and having that hair, you might be the nicest guy. He may be taking homeless kids in every weekend, feeding them and giving them scholarships for all we know.
But his name is Brooks.
But his name's Brooks.
Yeah.
And there's not much you could do with a Brooks.
Yeah. It's just, it smells of pompous. Like,
yeah, he was born into a country.
That's
like, another thing. We like it if you had a the underdog story.
It
goes a long way for us.
Underdogs are the greatest stories.
That's why
they?
I think that's why LeBron isn't cool, is because they're, yes.
What do you mean?
He's corny as hell.
He's so corny.
Well, I thought you were talking about Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, he had tough upbringing, but from the get-go, 16 years old, he was on Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
He was already destined to be great.
He came from nothing, though.
He did. He overcame all the odds, but he hasn't been an underdog, and people haven't really been doubting him since he was 16 years old.
Yeah, you're right.
He spent the majority of his life in the limelight, and this guy the other week was saying, like, you know, he had all these haters growing up, and I'm like, bro, and people that wanted to see him fail and people who thought he would fail, it's like, bro, you tatted Chosen One on your back. You didn't think you were going to fail, so what are you talking about?
Not to mention, you got to mention, that's honestly kind of harder than what else he's done, because he's lived up to all the expectations.
Yeah, I think it's way harder.
Being up to live up to those expectations is impossible, because no one can live up to expectations. But LeBron James has.
Without taking a single misstep along the way. He may have said some dumb things or things we disagreed with.
Ugh.
But he's never had any type of, not even so much as a DUI, no type of real drama in the marriage that's really, there's been rumors of stuff, but nothing substantial. No courtroom messes, nothing like that.
No gun charges or club incidents or anything.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, in that aspect, the dude has just been the model athlete.
Yes.
Like, he is, Adonis.
He is.
God, essentially, of athletes, because he's been perfect.
But he's not that cool.
No, he's not.
No.
That's the thing. It sucks.
I wouldn't want to hang
out. Taco Tuesday. He comes off semi-cringy.
Like, he just thinks everything he does, he produces, is funny.
Yeah.
And like, he's has so many people around him that have laughed at
him. I mean, he's got cool elements. He's got, like, a cool steez to him, you know, but he just, once he starts talking and the whole reading the first page of every book, it just gets ridiculous. let's move on off of coolness to just some news stuff, and stop me anywhere at any of the times that one of these becomes interesting. Kirk Cousins has a new home. He's no longer a Viking. He is moving on to Atlanta. So Atlanta could be slightly more mediocre, as they always do.
I love how Atlanta gets, like, the whitest quarterback.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the blackest city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quavo already said he has a chain for him ready to go, so.
Quavo?
Quavo.
Guava. I was like, who's guava?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Delicious fruit.
And he got paid out.
Was it 4 years, 180?
Yeah, something like that. Dude, he's always in the best situations when he's going to become a free agent. A team always is in the need. Washington needed it. Or Minnesota. Minnesota, after Washington, he got paid out. Got to throw to Justin Jefferson for, what, 3-4 years? And now Atlanta with that young team? I think Atlanta's going to win that division after this move.
Yeah, there's nobody in that division.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think it's a clear cut.
The Carolina Panthers are in that division right now. And our biggest news of the day, I'm just going to say, we haven't, obviously, our biggest news is we lost Brian Burns, which I want to burn the city down, pun intended. But our biggest news right now that we have posted on our Instagram page is that we re-signed our long snapper.
Oh.
Hey.
Shout out to John Lucan.
Let's go.
And
that's it.
That just goes to show how bad of a franchise you have. When on the biggest day of NFL free agency, where everyone's going left and right, you want to post your long snapper being signed.
That's pretty
re-signed.
Bad.
Yeah,
and they have plenty of money to spend.
My dude's a billionaire.
Yeah,
make it rain, Tepper.
Yeah, he needs to.
But no. I'm going to work for that guy. He's. I mean, I take it back. Somebody will because that's a very. Those are bought. Those are really highly touted jobs.
Yeah.
Those are very highly touted jobs out there. And there's only, 30 games, 32 teams out there?
Yep.
So only 32 options to get into it, so it's very competitive. And there are a lot of people who want it. So, yeah, someone will get in there and do it. But as a player, as someone like that, you can see if you're a legitimate athlete and have a chance to make it, why would you go to the Carolina Panthers?
It's a waste of time.
Yeah. Let's keep running through these moves, shall we? So Russell Wilson is not in Pittsburgh officially yet?
No, he hasn't signed, but that's he's going to sign.
Okay.
Dude dropped the video.
Okay.
He dropped the video.
He hasn't signed.
Still
the,
City.
The
yeah. Let's steal.
Let's build.
Let's build.
Yeah, I think the build's going to be the better.
Let's
tagline.
Build.
Let's build.
Josh Jacobs goes from the Raiders to Green Bay, 4 years for $48 million. Saquon staying within the division, going to Philly. He is going to be an obnoxiously high fantasy draft pick next year, and I'm already calling this is going to be a bust of a fantasy pick. I think it'll work out for Philly, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
I just found out about the Jacobs. I've been working all day, so I didn't even realize that we got Jacobs. I saw everything else, but that I did not see.
Yep. Awesome. There you go.
Nice.
Brian Burns, who I was dying for the Niners to go out and grab last year. Probably winning a Super Bowl if he could have got to the quarterback. It doesn't matter. Goes to the Giants. 5 years, $150 million. Austin Eckler leaving Los Angeles, formerly of San Diego, to go to Washington for $12 million. Aaron Jones was released by the Packers today. DeAndre Swift to Chicago. Leonard Floyd to the Niners, play opposite of our boy.
Bosa.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a MAGA term there for him, but we'll just go with Bosa.
Christian Wilkins also becomes a Las Vegas Raider.
That's right. That's right.
Raiders
that was a surprising move. Yeah.
Well, that's a massive move for them. Him and Max Crosby.
Mac Jones was cut over the weekend, ending his tenure in New England. Shout out to Colin Cowherd, who said he was the second coming of Tom Brady. That was incredible to listen back to today. I remember, it was rumored at the time that Kyle Shanahan really wanted Mac Jones and was moving up when we got Trey Lance to get Mac Jones. And I'm like, that would be the most Kyle Shanahan move of all time. Let's not get a good quarterback. Let's get a slightly below average quarterback that we can definitely make look slightly above average. That's what he does.
I mean, he got Trey Lance, so.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's exactly what he
did. I'd take Mac Jones over Trey Lance. Any day.
He didn't get injured.
That was a bad draft pick of Super Bowls.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Of QBs. I'm sorry. QBs. Quarterbacks. Yeah.
Who else was in that QB draft?
I'll check that one.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, the point is Shanahan loves taking dudes who aren't that great at QB and being like, hey, play in my system. I'll make you okay. And that's what he does. So. Yeah. That's what we have for you.
Eric Armstead is no longer
a Niner. That's right.
Sucks, but we had
they didn't want to pay him.
Yeah, and we don't have the money to pay him.
Yeah.
We don't have any money.
That's true.
Niners are, I mean, we still have a solid squad, but.
Yeah, that was the Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence draft.
Oh, so. Yeah.
There he goes.
Not a lot of QB talent in that draft. Probably not the one you move up for three first rounders.
And a second rounder and a fourth rounder.
That ended up turning into Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Justin Fields in there as well.
Okay.
So, I'd take Justin Fields out.
I mean, the only thing that really is any turned it any good is
Trevor Lawrence.
Even then, that's average.
Yeah.
Right there.
What year was that? 2020?
21. Yep.
So we have three years with those guys.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not pretty at all.
Not great. Well, moving on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty done. I'm good with football.
Yeah, there we go. It's March.
We're good. Let's move on. Let's go from football. It's been far too long. Football. I promised we'd get Derek in the front half of the show today. So here's me delivering on that promise. Ladies and gentlemen, you're much anticipated, much wanted, much needed foot and mouth.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Oh, that was right, y'all. Foot in mouth. We are here, and we had ourselves a nice little weekend. Nice little weekend of football where a clash of giants was happening in the Premier League.
That's right.
Where a game that, if won, would give you the hands reaching of getting the hands on the trophy first. Still, 10 games to play. A lot of games action out there. A lot of points to had, but this was a huge one. And give you a chance to give yourself a foot above the competition. And that's what happened with Liverpool hosting Man City in what was possibly the last meeting of Klopp and Pep Guardiola in the Premier League. As Klopp has announced his leaving of Liverpool at the end of the season, which has given Liverpool all the fire to try to go out and get every trophy possible. And they possibly could go for a quad. They're going for a quad. However, that quad will include a Europa League, not a Champions League. So it's a slightly tainted quad because the Champions League is the Premier League. But a quad nonetheless. The game was fantastic. It was a great back-and-forth play with Liverpool, for the most part, dominating that game.
Man, they had so many opportunities.
That first half in particular, putting Man City on their back heel.
Yes.
Keeping them at bay. Pressing them like Klopp loves to do. He does it better than most. His ability to have his team press is phenomenal. Yes. Liverpool performed that fantastically. But it was still Man City with all that deep talent that was able to find a way to get the first goal in the game.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I do.
Yeah.
You know how I know a team is really good? Is when I'm watching a Premier League game and they're calling out the players, and I know just about everyone on that team. Like, oh, this must be a pretty good team. What is this, an all-star squad? I knew just about everyone on Man City.
It is disgusting how good they have it out there. And they had it out good there when Kevin De Bruyne takes a corner and does absolutely Kevin De Bruyne things and delivers a pinpoint cross in a nicely worked play from the training ground for John Stones to tap it into the net.
What do you think about Kevin De Bruyne's... haircut right now?
It's he's too old to have that haircut.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. That's for teenage boys. trying to be too young. I can't appreciate it. That being said, with that haircut, my dude is playing like a teenage boy out there with his youthfulness right now after coming back from injury. Maybe not a teenage boy was the best answer. Dude's playing very youthful out there.
He's looking young.
He's playing young. My playing dude, young. Who's in his 30s, is doing his part. And fantastic is Kevin De Bruyne. But again, that was all they had for them. Man City had some action after that, but for the most part, it was Liverpool's game. They came back in the second half and were storming out, and you knew a goal was going to happen for them. And sure enough, they got a penalty. They got that penalty, and McAllister buries it to give it 1-1. But ultimately, it should have been 3 points going to Liverpool. If it wasn't for Luis Diaz, who couldn't find a way to put open breakaway. You 1v1. Against the goalkeeper, you can't do it. Terrible. Absolutely atrocious. Got to give a shout to Virgil van Dijk, though, who had himself a great moment against Haaland, who had himself quite a moment, and Haaland was able to do it. Not quite. Van Dijk was able to keep him at bay. That strong Norwegian, that robot of a human being.
Are you looking up De Bruyne's haircut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So game ended in a 1-1 draw. But I had my qualms with it. One, when Pep Guardiola and Klopp met before the game started, there was a hug, an embrace, a smile, an exchange of good fortune, which I hated. Ugh. Right now, you guys are in a fight of your life. You guys are right now clamoring for 3 points. You are fighting tooth and nail. Why? Because there are 3 points separated by 1 point. Right. I'm sorry, three teams separated by 1 point right now at the top of the Premier League. You guys have been rivals since you all gotten there. You have been comparing against each other time and time again. And you come out there and give me sweet nothings on the sideline before the game starts? No! I want a bloodbath. I want you to stare each other in the eyes, and I want you to have nothing but disgust and disdain in your eyes for that person in front of you. At the end of it, shake his hand and walk off. That's it. But no, this whole kumbaya, lovey-dovey, it's disgusting. I want the fire. I want the passion. While the game did deliver, it could have been so much more if we had that as a storyline as well. A Klopp and Pep matchup of the ages. This is the last one. Go for glory. Go for the head. But no, you wanted to, hey, let's embrace the moment and have fun times. Maybe that's what people want to see. No, I didn't. Now, while the teams did put on a good match, and yes, it was entertaining, it could have been so much more. Well, 1-1 draw, like I said. Three teams separated by 1 point, the other team being Arsenal, who is having themselves a fantastic run right now of doing nothing but scoring goals. They are literally, they're probably the last three games, I believe they have scored over 10 goals.
Sheesh.
It's ridiculous how much they're doing right now. Ridiculous. So shouts to Arsenal and Mikel Arteta, who was able to do it.
Over the last how many games?
Three games.
12.
12, thank you. 12 goals in the last three games. Stupid amount of goals they're scoring right now. They cannot be stopped. So shouts to Arsenal, and they're keeping pace with Liverpool and Man City.
Hmm.
Now, you know, when you listen to the show, when I give you Fred Mouth, I don't have much time, so I'll only give you Premier League updates, but I'm going to soak it right now because we have, that's what the Mormon said, we're going to make it happen a little bit more for the other leagues, because there are other leagues that do need their appreciation. I may have talked about them before, but the Bundesliga is being run by a new team right now, Bayer Leverkusen. Suck it, Bayern Munich. Even when you got Harry Kane and he thought he could go and get himself an easy trophy, nope, no trophies for you, Harry Kane, as Bayer Leverkusen has got themselves in a pristine position. They have yet to lose this season. They are obviously perfect. They have yet to drop any any points. God, the frog in my throat is killing me right now, and I can't get it out. They are undefeated in play, and they have a 10-point lead over Bayern Munich, I believe, at this point in time in the Bundesliga.
Yes, 10 points.
Yeah. 10-point lead. Stupid amount, the way that they're able to do it. And it's all because of the man, Xabi Alonso, who has done a masterclass of putting this team together, and they have done a masterclass of assembling, wheeling and dealing players. And they have themselves quite the squad right now of savvy veterans and great youngsters. The fact that they're 21 wins, 4 draws, 10-point clears of Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga, ridiculous.
Fun little stat is the last three wins, they've won when the other team was shorthanded. Three red cards.
There you go. Yeah. Got to take advantage of what you got them right there.
Yep.
All right.
It takes luck to win this league.
You got to do it. Yeah. Yeah. So shouts to the Bundesliga and Bayer Leverkusen. Got to give you the love. Got to give you the love. Also, little Serie A update for you, because they too are having themselves a fun little season as well. Why? Inter Milan running away with it. That's kind of the series. So not that fun, actually, for you. Sorry. But then in La Liga right now. I'm going to go to La Liga.
You're smoking everyone. What are you talking about? Not even in competition right now.
I want to talk about Girona.
60 points.
I want to talk about Girona in La Liga right now, who is having themselves quite the run of the season right now, as they are sitting in second place in La Liga. And the big news is, Barcelona having a tough go of things right now. Obviously, Xavi is on his way out as well, trying to figure out how they can stay afloat and match Real Madrid. In Real Madrid, all they're going to do is just go out and get Mbappe.
Or whoever else they want.
Whoever else they want, yeah. They're going to have a stupid team next year, especially if Mbappe does go to that.
It's a wrap for everyone. Don't even try.
Yeah, yeah. I want to watch that.
Well, yeah, no.
That's
going
to be the greatest thing to watch.
Yeah,
that team is... That's like the ultimate FIFA team you could ever create.
Yeah, and I can't wait for Madrid to get Mbappe, because it's going to bring back the golden era of Madrid when David Beckham, Raul, Roberto Carlos, yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's gonna be dope.
Hopefully, that means Barcelona's gonna have to step their game up right there. Well, they're gonna have to because their fans will demand anything but that.
Yeah, I was gonna say the only thing that would make that better is if Barca competes and it's not just a bloodbath of Real Madrid. It's really great when Real Madrid and Barca are right at the top.
Oh, 100%.
Those are the best.
When the El Clasico is an actual
Clasico.
Oh, yeah. Right now it's going to be...
Not soccer. The world needs that.
The world needs that. Yes. 100%. That's your foot and mouth, y'all.
Shout out to Chelsea.
Oh, sorry. I was. Yes.
Thank you.
Chelsea.
Yes, 3-2.
Played today against Newcastle 3-2. You're getting wins.
Top 10 finish, boy. Let's go, baby.
Top of the table, baby. I also have a big shout out. Big shout out, Everton, not playing for 3 weeks. Delicious. Thank you. Don't have to watch those boys in action. It's been tough.
They have either had a draw or ended in a draw or lost their last five for your Evertonian.
Yeah, but I will be seeing them April 20th.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's all. That's the good news.
There you go.
Yeah, live in person.
All right. All right. Little seventh inning stretch, if you will. Ah, yeah.
Our clock hasn't changed in here.
No, it hasn't.
No.
Nor has it internally, but yet here we are, on time, except for Brad. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico People Powered Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking about practice on your airwaves right now. Jerome, Derek, Rudy, Statman, Brad. And we are brought to you by our friends at Northern Star Mills. Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Northern Star Mills offers natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers, as well as natural and holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico, across from the Bidwell Mansion. Shout out to Northern Star Mills. Shout out to our guy, Patrick Riley, at Century 21 Select. Shout out to all of our underwriters, and shout out to you, our listeners. We appreciate y'all hanging out this evening. We got to get to news. We got our foreign correspondent coming on here shortly. We got questions and answers and bad life advice or whatever we're going to call that segment coming up. North State update, Rudy's picks, and other stuff. And we got to jam all that into the next 24, 5, 6 minutes or so. So let's see if we can do it. But in the meantime, Derek catches you up on what's going on around the world. Derek Ismaki has the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Ismaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. We're going international right now, y'all, as we head to Zanzibar.
Zanzibar.
Where, tough time out there in Zanzibar. There's a local island, in the Pemba Island. It's coming underneath some heat right now. As a restaurant was serving a soup, a very delicate soup, a sea turtle meat soup.
Sea turtle?
Yeah, sea turtle. Sea turtle meat. It's a big delicacy in that part, in Zanzibar. The problem is with sea turtle meat.
Seems like there's not a lot of it.
It's a delicacy, but it's also can be very deadly. Wow. Because there is a chemical in there called chylonitoxim.
Oh.
You nailed that one right there. Yeah,
nice.
That's good. That good stuff right there.
Thank you.
It's a form of food poisoning, an aggressive form of food poisoning. So much so that it does, not regularly, but semi-regularly, kill people. But again, a delicacy. So, 78 people had to be taken to the hospital after having this sea turtle meat, resulting in 9 deaths.
Oh, man.
8 children, 1 adult.
Oh, jeez. 8 children?
8 children, 1 adult, yeah.
Oh, man.
What poor stomachs? Poor stomachs couldn't handle.
That's a great question for the radio audience, Brad.
Sorry, I just heard deaths, and I'm like, wait, what?
Bunch of people ate sea turtle meat and died.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. It's a delicacy in Zanzibar. Glad you're listening, everyone. You're welcome for hearing it again. But yes, that delicacy is hopefully worth Aaron. It. Hopefully worth it for you. So, yeah. Don't eat Cicero meat, guys.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound worth it to
I think that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
It's wine. They're, you know.
There's plenty of other things to eat.
Yeah.
There are so many other things to eat out there. Like, this when I see wild. Some of the things that people do choose to eat, I'm like, okay, all right. This is what we're choosing to eat right now. Hey, I guess the whole world's edible.
Well, everything's edible. Whether or not you're going to survive or not, that's another question.
There we go. Another wise words from our producer over there.
Just on fire.
I'll keep it short, guys, because we have a lot. That's the news.
Oh, each and every week, we bring on our foreign correspondent to class up the show and keep track of the sports we didn't pay enough attention to over the weekend. So with that, we bring on our friend Aaron. Aaron, hello.
How's it going, guys?
I think we're all doing pretty well overall. Yeah, I think we're good.
It's a gloomy day out there.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Spring is around the corner.
It's around the corner.
You could smell it in there.
We got the time change, so we just know it's going to be there soon. Yeah. It's just not here yet, and that's what's killing us.
Golfing season. Let's go, baby.
I'm ready for it. You got the itch in me again.
I'm good. Glad. Yeah. I'm glad. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's a good itch.
Yeah, it's the only type of itch I like to leave people with. I don't know what that means. Let's move on.
Aaron, please save us.
Speaking of golf,
come on.
Let's talk some golf, Aaron.
Yeah, we had some golf this weekend, and Scottie Scheffler did what Scottie Scheffler does best. He did not miss a putt inside 15 feet this weekend. He, went, I think, 60 shots without a bogey. He played bogey-free in the final group. He won by 5 shots. He was in good company with Wyndham Clark and Shane Lowry, but he just beat them out. I mean, he won by 5 shots, and his putting was incredible. So he's really putting together his game just in time for the Players' Championship this weekend coming up. So, I mean, just very impressive golf by Scottie Scheffler.
Scottie Scheffler, not cool at all.
No.
That's another non-cool guy.
Which is unfortunate because he's very good at golf.
Yeah.
And, like, I need the
he's
good...
He's kind of like a robot.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, has some personality,
he's
my
so
guy.
So good that he just goes out there, oh, yeah.
Like, I can respect him, but, like, have a little personality for us.
Yeah.
Something.
I'm with you. Yeah, no.
But shout out to Scottie Scheffler. You made that a boring weekend.
Yeah. He's great. Not cool, but great.
Yeah.
It was a great weekend until Sunday. Saturday, everyone was 7-under, and it was going to... And my boys, Zalatoris, had a 2-shot lead. But long story short, it was a great weekend of golf. All the big hitters were on top. But Sunday, just Scottie Scheffler just took over.
Sunday. Aaron, what's going on with this PGA LIV merger? Is this happening anytime soon?
I'm going to go with no, actually. It is going to take years to sort out. And, I mean, you guys were talking about Full Swing earlier in the show, and you're seeing this play out, back in real time, basically, when they were filming. And it will take years to decide. And, you know, it makes me even wonder if it's going to happen. There were so many players. I feel so bad for Rory. He was just... used and abused.
He got played.
I mean, hard.
Everyone got played, but especially him.
Highly recommend if you're maybe a fringe golf fan or, you know, just kind of curious about it, check
just
out Full Swing.
It, yeah.
It's pretty entertaining. I've got through the first 3 episodes of the new season last night and definitely enjoying it and just going back through that whole drama of LIV and PGA coming out and announcing it and all that and how the players reacted was pretty fascinating. Do you have anything else for us on the golf front? You want to move on to F1 or you got anything else?
LIV also had a tournament this weekend. It came down to a 3-way tie at the end. Abraham Anser came out on top. It's just more golf. And, you know, I think that they're really trying to compete with the PGA. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think they got to do something. The teams and all that, I just don't think are going to get it done. I think you got to come up with a few new gimmicks.
I'm struggling with the teams, too. And, you know, again, if you go on their website, it's fancy. It's beautiful. You can tell that they're trying. All kinds of stats.
Yeah,
I think they're trying. Something will catch on, I think, eventually, but I don't know. These team names are just too corny.
Yeah.
The Majestics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all stupid.
And
as a better, like, I don't even touch LIV, and I have my favorite golfer, Cam Smith, there, and John Rahm, you know, and I can't even touch it because, you know, they're playing by themselves and they're playing for the damn team.
John Rahm's not on LIV?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. You got Buku Bucks,
come
baby.
On, bro.
Oh, I didn't know he went to LIV.
This is his first year. And he was one of the guys last year was hating on everyone that left. And then, I want $400 million, whatever they gave him. Yeah, sure.
Well, and you still got to play in the majors, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you're in the Masters, like, who cares?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's all I want right now. Just give me the Masters.
Yeah, you know? I'm with you. All right. Formula One?
Formula One. I mean, just really quick, it was in Saudi Arabia this weekend. Obviously, Max Verstappen won, but I was very excited to see Checo come in second.
Yeah.
Checo.
Viva la raza.
I love it so much. Carlos Sainz was out, obviously, for that appendix surgery, and we got to see the new kid. They would not stop talking about him on the announcers. This Ollie Berman, who was driving for Ferrari, it was his debut. He did great. It was pretty impressive. He came in seventh.
I mean, 18 years old, and you're pretty much given like a day's notice. Like, hey, you're hopping in a car right now.
That's crazy.
Like a Formula One car. Have fun out there. And you finished seventh. Pretty impressive debut for my man, Ollie Berman over there.
And he's English, right?
Yes.
He is.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Can we get to some of these questions? Everyone's
good.
Yeah.
All right. This first one came in via email, meeting an ex. Hello, brothers and sister of TBP. I have no collegiate athletics to share, but I once had a 5-1 KDR on Call of Duty.
Not a kid.
Pretty good. About 2 years ago, me and my long-term girlfriend broke up. At the time, we both had some life-changing events that took place in our individual lives, and we grew apart. The split was as mutual as these things can be, and we still talk from time to time, checking in on one another and such. Recently, she reached out and told me that she is doing much better and would like to grab dinner next week and possibly go out for a little day drinking for St. Paddy's Day. Here's my dilemma. I really love this girl, and I wanted things to work out, and I still would like to get back in a relationship with her. I'm worried if I go to dinner that I am going to jump right back into that mindset, and I might be setting myself up for a huge disappointment. I really don't want to go through that feeling of rejection if she doesn't want the same things I do. So the question is obvious. Should I go to dinner with her and shoot my shot and see if she's on board with getting back together? Or should I skip the dinner and make up an excuse out of fear of rejection and going back to that dark place I was at when we broke up? I feel like I have come a long way in rebuilding myself and have found happiness recently for the first time since the breakup. And I really do not want to face that darkness that comes with rejection. Thank you for the bad life advice. You are all the best. It was this segment that really made me tune into your show week in and week out since I'm not the biggest sports fan. Well, welcome. And, man, this is a lot to unpack.
Bro, I feel that.
Let's start. Aaron, do you have something for our friend? I got some opinions, but I want to start with
you. I feel like he answered it himself, right? He thinks this is a bad idea. His gut is telling him no. I always think it's not a good idea to get back with your ex. I'm typically in the no category here.
Anyone else got something here?
I mean, don't skip it out. I mean, it's a tough place, man. You know, maybe the great place is she's engaged and she's got somebody new. And there you go. Right off the bat, you know, it's not happening for you, you know? But
maybe he could just ask her up front, like, is she interested? I don't know. It feels like a bad idea to me, though.
You got something, my friend?
I mean, yeah, as long as you guys left it on a mutual playing field or a mutual, like, kind of a break, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But, yes, you got to take care of yourself. You got to make sure that you are okay. And there's nothing wrong with asking.
But wait, you did say rejection in your email, and you went to a really dark place. So she rejected you, is what you're saying?
No. He's afraid of the rejection that he has.
He went to a really dark place after their
broke up. So I'm guessing, you know,
it was probably caused by her.
He's tried before again.
It sounds to me like they broke up. It was they both had some things going on in their life, but it was probably more her pushing the issue from what I'm reading in this.
It sounds like it,
and
yeah.
he was feeling all sorts of rejection, built himself back to a good place, and now he's concerned about what would happen if he goes back to her and it doesn't work out. I say go. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm a really? Roll the dice kind of guy.
No.
And here's the thing. I could live with the rejection more so than what if I didn't go and I have...
What ifs.
And that would eat me up alive.
Yep.
Because what if... Because here's my indication that things are on the up and up. If she says, and possibly do a little day drinking tomorrow, does that mean you're going to be spending the night at her house and you guys are just going to get up and go day drinking? Then also, an ex is the best type of date to go on. Why? It's if it's the first date in a long time, you don't have to worry about how you sound. You don't have to worry about saying the wrong thing. You know this lady, right? You don't have the typical fears of, like, is she going to think this is cool or that's cool? This is a catch-up. Be smooth, be cool, and play. This is the slow play. You could probably finish the night with what you're most likely looking for, which is a good time. Everyone knows what I'm talking about there. We're all adults in the room. And it's
sex.
Thank you, Derek.
Oh, really?
I was talking and about breakfast. I don't know that you get much more of a layup than an ex where there's already a mutual attraction, obviously. And so maybe she doesn't want to get back together, but maybe she wants to have some fun. Maybe I don't think she's going to have dinner with you to be like, hey, by the way, doing great, pregnant with, you know, and engaged to this dude who's a multimillionaire. I doubt that's why she wants to meet up with you.
Yeah, don't listen to my advice. I'm lonely, my man.
Same here, dude. All right.
And the two married men are saying go
for
it.
I just say don't go for it. Well, Aaron said not to go for it.
Yeah, he answered his own question. He doesn't want to go back to that dark space.
Yeah.
And he already worked on himself to be a better person. So why go back?
But if he's got
why go back?
But what if he's got that mind of going into that dark place?
It's
going
to be bad.
It's going to go bad. If he, like Dro said,
if he
doesn't do it.
It don't matter. You've already went down that road. Why go back again?
But it's the train of what ifs are the worst thing in the world. At least if you try and you know it didn't work, guess what? You can
You can move on. I think that's what you find closer.
That's what he thinks. That's what we're saying. It's only going to make it worse.
Okay, but life events, depending on how old this guy is, life events happen. And you know what? If you can come back around and there's that like mutual, hey, we're going to try this again.
Yeah.
It's a different story. Maybe life's brought them back together.
Those big life events together. Like when you're married, you don't have a choice. You have to do it, right? I guess technically you don't. You get divorced. But, you know, if you couldn't do it once before, I don't know why you're going to be able to do it again.
But, I mean, kids are going to be kids. Sometimes they're not going to be able to handle it. They're not mature enough for those situations.
Yeah, we don't know how old this guy is. And I don't have him on any of the socials.
Yeah.
So I can't just look and guess. So
not to mention, give us a follow up and see what happens.
Yeah, we definitely need a follow up.
But I will say this, man: if you ever want to risk the good times, you have to risk bad times.
No doubt.
All right, so if you want to have, if you want to experience the heavens, man, you got to experience the darkness. Okay.
Yep, that's exactly.
My man.
No.
My man.
I'm not even going to add to that. You put it well. Let's move on.
But don't do it.
Another Parenting My Parents email here. Hi, Aaron and guys. I'm a former D3 women's soccer player here.
Nah, love our football.
Shouts to you. I heard another listener writing in about living with his dad and the issue he's having with his dad and new girlfriend. And the words of your listener, they're bow chicka bow wow time. That's right. I thought your responses were hilarious, but a little insensitive, or perhaps they hit a little too close to home for me. I am hoping you can offer me different advice than you did for him when you told him, essentially, move out ASAP. Yeah, that was pretty much it. stand by that.
Sooner than later.
Yeah.
We know it's tough. We're not insensitive. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, if he's listening right now, we'd like follow up from you, my friend. Have you found a job? Are you living on your friend's couch yet? Because I would be. all right, back to the emailer here. I'm the oldest of three kids, and all three have recently moved out of the house. Except I just moved back in. After college, I moved to SF to work for a large tech firm. I was recently laid off, so I moved back in with my parents while I'm trying to find my next job. Since all the kids moved out, it appears that my parents are reliving their 20s. They go out all the time.
They
often have their friends over, and they drink several nights during the week.
Love it.
My father is retired, and my mother only works part-time for a friend of hers doing some consulting work, so they have the freedom and the money to party. I get it, but it all seems a bit ridiculous at their age. two weekends ago when we had nice weather for a couple of days, they had friends over for dinner, and their friends ended up staying here until 3 in the morning.
Love it.
I know they were all very drunk based on observing them. or I know they're all very drunk based on the volume of hearing them. I would say some casual drug use was had, not, and in parentheses, not talking weed or mushrooms, but perhaps some white sneezy snow. Never heard it called sneezy snow.
Sneezy snow, that's a new one.
Yeah, I cannot be positive because I did not witness them, but I party, and I know the telltale signs when someone has had some uppers to keep them going. The constant conversation, the business plans, the vacation plans, etc. This behavior is a bit unbecoming for my parents, who are 65 and 58. They have friends over constantly, and they're drinking more than I have ever seen. It doesn't seem to create any real problems for them, but I do find this behavior to be pretty immature for folks their age. I want to talk to them and ask them to dial it back a touch, but at the end of the day, it is their house, their money, and their lives. What is the best way to parent my parents? The best way is mind your own business.
Yes.
Are your parents complaining?
I would like an invite.
Yes.
To
yeah. I think, listen, this is a pretty rare moment for you. I'm guessing you're in your probably mid to late 20s.
Maybe early 30s.
And this is a pretty cool opportunity. If your parents are partying and you don't have a job, or maybe you're working part-time and you're looking for work, go spend a day drinking with them.
Yeah, see what happens.
Yeah. Hang out with them and their friends. Yeah. If you can't beat them, join them. Ultimately, you are in their house. And like we said with our friend who wrote in the other week, it's their house.
They're having fun right now. They had to deal with you.
Yeah.
Okay, three kids, all of you. And now you're back?
You did the same thing when you were growing up. Yeah.
When you were 20.
Probably, like, I don't know. Yeah. Most likely.
Yeah, like, what are these parents supposed to be doing? Reading the newspaper and playing Sudoku? Like, they're at the end of their careers. They're done. Yeah. Sounds like their parents, her parents are done. Like, why not have fun with what you've, like, worked for?
Here's your one bright side. They're older.
Yep.
They're doing a lot of drugs and alcohol. They probably won't last that much longer. Okay? You know, at that rate, your house will be yours all by yourself.
Actually, I like this. Befriend them a lot more. Get more in the will.
I don't think there's a talking to sounds ridiculous coming from the child to the parents about their partying. Just seems like you're overstepping. It's their house. I think you got to kind of play by their rules. And Lord knows they've sacrificed enough over the last 20 or so, 30 years for you and your siblings. Let them have some fun. You know, I think that's fine. I would like to take the listener's side, but I just can't.
Yeah, no, I want to give you different advice, but unfortunately, you know, I feel like you think that you're somehow
better than everyone,
entitled to be there. It's like, no.
And at the same time, it wasn't affecting their lives, you said. So, like, it doesn't, at that point, it's unfortunately affecting yours, which, again, sorry, but it's their home.
Yeah, if you're like, mom got her second DUI, dad blacked out, there's a different story. In front of friends. That's different.
Yeah.
But if they're just doing they're just partying, having a good time, who are you to tell them, hey, dial it back? Like, nah.
They wiped your butt, my dude.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's a girl. But
it's a girl.
Yeah. Anyway.
These can be girls.
Butt's a butt.
Butt's a butt. Yeah.
Yeah, butt's a butt. Fair enough.
Butt's butt.
Shall we move on? We have one more, and then I know we got to get to Rudy's picks and North State update, but this one's kind of quick.
Love it.
Oh, it's not that quick. I can read fast. I think this answers.
It's 3 pages long, bro.
Okay. What up, gang? Big fan of the show. No collegiate stats, but I once held the record at my high school for fastest mile. That record has since been broken. Last year, a group of my college friends and I got a place together in the Bay Area. As you know, the Bay is damn near impossible to afford at entry-level wages, and we all recently graduated from college in the last few years. We have a particularly annoying roomie. We will call him Doug. When we were all in college, Doug was a great time. Doug was our wild card. He was fun, outgoing, and good in mixed company, and crushed it with the ladies. Something changed since graduating, and Doug now acts like a 45-year-old divorcee, single dad that works three jobs. Doug is constantly chirping about how we need to grow up and act our age, but we are all between the ages of 25 and 28. I think going out at our age and staying up too late from time to time is part of the package when you're our age. When we all decided to get a place together, the bros were stoked. We could relive our college glory years for a few more years, hanging on to those precious moments as we continue to pursue our career goals and have some fun in the process. However, Doug will remind us all the time that we aren't in college anymore. For a bunch of dudes, we are pretty clean and keep the majority of our messes in our own rooms. Occasionally, we will have friends over before or after the bars, and sometimes we'll leave some beers out or food out from the night before, which immediately gets tossed in the morning if it's in the common areas when we get up. Recently, Doug went out of his way, Doug went out with us, but decided to come home early. We had a few drinks, and then we had a few friends over after the bars, which was still pretty early, around 10:30 or so. Doug began immediately texting our roommate group chat with, "You guys serious right now? And when is everyone leaving?" And so on. I responded, "Everyone is leaving by midnight, just wanted to have a nightcap while they waited on Ubers." We weren't playing music or anything. We're just having some casual conversation in the living room. Doug even went as far as to leave sticky notes on a box of pizza and beers that were left out. The notes read, "This is gross" and "Grow up." Back in January, we all extended our lease for another year, but Doug's becoming more and more annoyed with our behavior. He recently lectured me in front of companies saying that if I didn't get my act together, I wasn't going anywhere in life. We are all fed up with Doug and have tried to talk about this with Doug, but Doug doesn't seem to want to compromise. We even told Doug if he wanted to move out, he could. There'd be no hard feelings. Doug, blah, 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 master bedroom. Blah, this is really long.
Three pages. All right, Doug.
They had some context. They don't really go out during the week. Sometimes they go to a sports bar. That's about it. But they don't typically have friends over.
Drop them. Yeah. Jump them. Beat them up. Slap them. Bye, Doug. Later, loser. I take that back. You're not a loser. I think
let's go to Aaron real quick, and then we'll come right back. Aaron, you got something?
Yeah. See if you can get him to move out continue to encourage him. Start to do the passive aggressive things. Leave sticky notes on his doors. Actually, be rude. And then buy him a pair of headphones or noise canceling headphones, or earplugs or noise canceling headphones.
I'm with it. Yeah, no, I like it. I think the other thing is, do y'all have a little bit of extra money? Could you help Doug in his transition? If you're like, "Hey, listen, this isn't working out for you. It's not working out for us. We'll pay part of your down payment at a new spot. Plus, we'll give you your deposit back at the end of this."
Deposit back, yeah, but don't pull money out of your own pocket and help someone
enough.
Out.
Yeah, just Doug's got to kick rocks.
I don't want to do that. I don't ever understand. Why do you need to grow up, man? Are you being responsible still? Yeah. Then you're growing up, my dude. People have fun too, okay?
Yeah, I don't know, be responsible.
I don't know what Doug's going over there for, man. Yeah. You can still be responsible and irresponsible at the same time. Yeah.
Bye, Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're good. Aaron, excellent as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. 137 days until the Olympics, guys.
She would give us that.
Later, Aaron. All right, North State update, Rudy's picks. We got about 3.5 minutes left.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State update.
All right, real quick, here we go. There was no championships for basketball in the North State. Unfortunately, PV lost to... I was going to say Clovis, but they lost in the North State final, didn't make it, and Chico State did not win the championships, but both made it to the NCAA finals and made their regionals. Chico State men are playing against number 3 Montana State Billings. Chico State is number 6. Women, they are number 5. They're playing number 4 Montana State Billings. Both Montana State Billings and Chico State match up. Going to baseball, they had a decent weekend this weekend as they won 3 out of 4. They'll be playing at San Marcos at home this weekend. Softball got 2 wins this weekend as they played against Sonoma State. They're going to be at the Tournament of Champions in Turlock, and that is my North State update.
Wow.
Oh, and real quick, Butte College for the third time, third straight year, they have made the Elite Eight for the community college championships. They're going to be playing against Long Beach, and they are the number 1 team in the North State, or the North.
Nice.
So there we go.
Damn.
Yeah, go Butte College.
Yeah.
Haven't talked about them much, but there they are.
All right. Like it. Rudy, do you have some picks for the people?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. It's just a couple of We have a minute.
The student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy.
I'm gambling again.
Golf is back. Golf is back in a full swing, baby. We got the TPC Players Championship out out east in Florida. All the heavy hitters are going to be there. And I'm hammering my boy, Zalatoris. I think he's finally going to pull it out and win this weekend at plus 2,500. Other picks to win, Hovland plus 22, Auburn plus 3,000, Windham 3,500. And my three long shots